The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Hot Take Tuesday, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Joining me today on this episode from way out west, the city of Angels, Charlie Smith. How are you doing and where can the fans find you?
Doing well. Smith underscore MLB is where you can find me, chat me, and send me hate mail, whatever you want to do.
Let's get active. Also joining us today is Terry Cushman, from the Grand Strand, a.k.a. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Terry, how are you doing?
I am doing amazing. And you can find me on Twitter at CushmanMLB, the podcast account at Bastards underscore Boston. Terry Talks Sox on Facebook. We're on Instagram, YouTube, all over the place. Come find us.
Always impressive that you got all the handles ready to go. Keeping them straight, keeping everybody on the straight and narrow. But yes, as you all know, it is Hot Take Tuesday. So, Charlie, why don't you kick us off with your first hot take of today?
Yeah, with pleasure. So this is going to come to us from Tao C. Chow at Tao C. Chow. It's T-A-O-C-C-H-O-U. Chris Sale will finish the season strong and be the finalists in Cy Young voting, while Grissom will be sent down before the All-Star break. So thank you, Tao. I absolutely agree. Chris Sale is 8-1 with a 0.85 whip the last time we checked, with a 2.12 ERA. The guy is pitching out of his mind. The most wins he's ever had in a season is 17. It would not surprise me if he eclipses the 240 to 250 strikeout marker. This is probably the best thing going on for Atlanta as far as the pitching, pitching situations going on. Spencer Strider, is done for the year. Acuna, done for the year. So literally, Matt Olson's not doing great. Austin Riley's kind of struggling a little bit. There's been a lot of glaring holes, but Chris Sale has not been one of them. And I absolutely agree with this take. I think he will end up in the Cy Young finalist group. And Grissom will be sent down before the All-Star break. I think that's the part right there that's the hot take, Tao. Because we gave up Chris Sale for this guy. And a couple years ago, we thought, wow, this guy could really be something special. And really, so far, we haven't seen that side of Vaughn Grissom. I'm hoping he can make it without having to see a trip down in AAA because he's just not able to get extra base hits. And that elusive home run ball still is elusive. It's not happening, and we're not even getting close. Batting average is also really poor. Strikeout numbers aren't astronomical, thank God. But it's a hot take and a half, man. If this ends up happening, credit to you and credit to a lot of other people that think that, you know, this is happening. I actually think that you're in the minority, though, my friend. I think the majority of folks want to see Vaughn Grissom stay up in Boston, work through the kinks, and be the player that we all know he can be as of 2 years ago. Because if the Braves got rid of him because they thought, okay, cool, this isn't it, they saw something that we missed, you know, shame on the Braves for, you know, trading damaged goods, if that's really what it is. I don't think so. I think it's just a player that needs to come into his own and still make the adjustments he needs to make based on the fact that he missed a significant amount of time because of an injury. So, Tao, thank you for your hot take. Terry, anything you want to add to that?
So, I didn't want to get too into it. We did talk about him in the last episode, Chris Sale. If we're going to set an over or under of, let's say, 125 innings, even though he's over halfway there, I'm probably still taking the under. I'm never not going to think that Chris Sale is a ticking time bomb when it comes to injuries and weird ones too. I mean, he popped a rib 2 years ago. Then last year, fractured his shoulder blade. He just has a very violent delivery. And it was kind of shocking to me that the guy I regard as the best general manager, executive in MLB, Alex Anthopoulos, would not only trade for Chris Sale, but then extend him for, I think, one extra year and then an option beyond that. Just kind of crazy to me. Having said that, he's pitched extremely well. I think if you go back to last season, if you could take that early Baltimore start away and just make that a quality start, and I think he got roughed up one more time after that. I forget who that was, but you take those two early starts from 2023, make them quality starts. Chris Sale would have been having a very similar start to the year with the Red Sox, but he's absolutely crushing it. I think his worst start was against the Marlins at some point in April of this year. So we'll see. I mean, if he does manage to pitch 140, 150, even 160 innings, finally, at 35 years old, I'll be shocked. And I'm not rooting against it. I love this Atlanta team. As much as I'm surprised Anthopoulos made the move, I'm kind of glad Chris Sale ended up on a team like the Braves. So we'll see what he does, but I don't think he's going to have the innings to get the Cy Young votes to get into the top 5 or 10.
I mean, the Cy Young votes at this point in time could just be a war of attrition. You know, who is still standing by the end of the season to be eligible to win a Cy Young? And, you know, for that, if that's Chris Sale, you know, count your chickens, go buy a lotto ticket. I don't think any of us kind of had that on this year's bingo card. Charlie, when you said the number 200, I thought you were talking about innings for a split second, and I was like, no chance in heck that that's going to happen. And then you brought up, you know, 240, 250 strikeouts, and I think that's, you know, far more feasible. But multiple things can be true, right? You know, we could be bummed that Chris Sale is no longer a Boston Red Sox, and we can also, you know, root for him to do well in Atlanta. Like, we are capable human beings to kind of carry water for both of those sentiments. You know, I just think it was one of those mutual partings. You know, the PT that was working with him was saying he's ready to go, but we've heard that before, right? And Terry, as you mentioned, he's had, I would say, probably the worst string of luck for a premier, you know, major league player that I've ever heard of, at least. You know, this guy's coming up with injuries that I just don't think most people have to deal with, let alone, you know, try to pitch. And so for him to get into that Cy Young conversation, I think a few more dominoes has to fall in front of him. But I think it is very possible, just so long as he stays healthy. And I think that's what we're all rooting for in the end, is that he does, in fact, stay healthy and completes the remainder of the season. Anything else you gentlemen wanted to add on the Sale topic? All righty. Terry, what is your hot take for this Tuesday?
Mine comes from a guy who refers to himself as Mike in the Mountains. Let's see if he's got a bio here. Oops, that's the previous guy. He comes from Colorado, so I guess that would be a very mountainous area. But we appreciate his hot take. His is that Jarren Duran gets traded to the Kansas City Royals. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I think there's at least a 50% chance the Red Sox will move Jarren Duran if somebody blows them away with a trade package. And we were talking off the air in between shows, and I pointed out, I mean, how often do you get the opportunity to trade for a player in their prime with 4 years of control left beyond this year? Those players don't come up that often. Most teams are unwilling to trade those players. And I don't think the Red Sox are salivating necessarily at the chance of trading Duran, but I think there's enough teams that could come through one of which may have a stupid offer for the Red Sox, where you're getting potentially their top one or two pitching prospect, their top one or two hitting prospect, along with a guy on the major league roster that perhaps they're interested in. And the Royals are fascinating because they've got the fourth best pitching staff in MLB. So they're going to be looking for a bat. And when you look at their outfield, MJ Melendez, who I don't think is even hitting above the Mendoza line, and if he is, it's not by much. Kyle Isbell, he's day-to-day right now with some sort of an injury. And then Hunter Renfroe. That's an outfield that desperately needs an upgrade. So I don't know if Mike in the Mountains is going to be correct, but that's certainly a team that could come calling. And I wrote down some other teams that may be in the running. The Minnesota Twins, they're typically not one of the better offensive teams. I think they might be a good fit. The Seattle Mariners, they've got the pitching much like the Royals do. That's a team that needs to figure it out offensively, and they have a general manager that loves to wheel and deal. So I think that's definitely a possibility. I forgot to write down some National League teams. I could do it on the fly here. A few that might be interested. The Arizona Diamondbacks, possibly. The Chicago Cubs, I think, would be an interesting fit for a guy like Duran. So could the Milwaukee Brewers, even. And one team we did mention on the last show in light of the Acuna injury is the Atlanta Braves, but they've got a ton of lefties, so I don't think they're a fit for him. But I love the Royals. I love the imagination that Mike in the Mountains used for his hot take. So, again, I think 50% chance or better that he does get moved.
Charlie,
if he were to get moved, Terry, let's say Kansas City for an example. You know, you mentioned Melendez, you mentioned Renfroe, and who's the third guy?
Kyle Isbell,
who's day to day, and I don't really remember him being relevant this year in 2024. So yeah, that's an immediate upgrade, and automatically Jaron Duran shows up to Kansas City and is your best outfielder. Sure, who are they going to give up? What prospect are the Royals willing to move on from? Is it a top five player in their farm system?
Oh, I think you would get a top five player for Duran. For 4 years of control and the way he impacts a team, you know, top of the order. The base stealing has kind of gone away, but maybe it comes back. I don't know.
So then what would you say? Would you ask for a top three and then one in your 4 through 10? Would you ask for two picks in your top 10? Because I'm looking at the Royals.
You
got
to start there. You have to at least start there. And if you've got eight teams calling about Duran, one of them might give up one in their top five, one in their top 10. I think it's going to be a decent haul.
I'm looking at the list of these guys that they have, and I'm curious to know if they're willing to. I really would be curious to know if they'd be willing to get rid of any of their arms, like this Ben. I can't even pronounce his name. Kadruna. That's their number three. He's in high A. He's 21. They have another guy in their top five named Frank Moziacato, also another name and a half. He's 20 years old. I mean, I'd love to see one of those guys there, because what pitching depth do we have? If we're really going to say, yeah, Jaron Duran is gone, name the pitchers that are absolute lights out for the Boston Red Sox. I'll wait. Thank you.
I don't know.
You're going to need pitching depth. Otherwise, it's a no-go for me. And I think that if you make that trade, if you do make that move, you make that trade, you're essentially telling your team, yeah, we're getting rid of the bigger pieces because we're going to try to rebuild again. So the Boston Red Sox, as it stands right now, have one guy in their top eight that is a pitcher. That's it. You got Marcelo Mayer, you got Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal. That's your one through three. You got Miguel Blaze, and then you have Nick York in the top six as well. And then you have Yoelín Céspedes and Nathan Zanatello. Most of them are shortstops, which is just kind of funny. We just keep drafting shortstops. And then we have Kilman Gonzalez as our only prospect in the top eight that's a pitcher. So, yeah, we are in desperate need of depth in the pitching department. It's borderline unacceptable how grossly negligent we have been with only drafting offense and not pitchers. Like, I get it. It's hard to draft pitching. But here's the thing. Not every team is thinking that. It's not like all the pitchers that are playing in Major League Baseball are international free agent signings. Some of these guys get drafted and some of them are good. We just, you know, we need to do more. If we're going to make this move and you really want to part ways, it's going to suck. There goes your jersey, Terry, by the way. That's your guy. You wanted to buy a Jaren jersey. If that's what ends up happening, you need pitching. And multiple players.
I want a Jaren Duran jersey so bad, but I know he's gonna get moved if I buy it. It's gonna happen. here's the one bit of bad news, which kind of surprises me. I was looking it up while Charlie was giving his take. The Royals have a bad farm system. MLB Pipeline ranks it number 28th. FanGraphs, which is a nice one to go to because you don't have to pay for anything. They have it 29th. So we'll see. I mean, they did a nice job getting some short-term guys in there into that rotation. Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha. Like, they are trying to win. So I still wouldn't rule out, Jaren Duran.
Here's something. What if Jaren Duran got traded to Milwaukee?
I mean, I listed them as a possibility.
If he does go to Milwaukee, I'm actually going to do, because I'm not as familiar with the Milwaukee Brewers farm system. Their number one guy is a pitcher. Their number four guy is a pitcher. Their number six guy is a pitcher. I can keep going, but they have pitching options. So would they be willing to get rid of one of these guys? I mean, that'd be insane. 22-year-old, 6 foot. I mean, good looking kid, man. I mean, that would be something. That would be something pretty interesting. The Braves have got to have one of the top farm systems. They have so much pitching depth, and they figure out exactly who they need to draft. Their top five names on there are all pitchers. And one of them's already had some experience. So
Atlanta's bad. They're 25th on FanGraphs. Like, Anthopoulos did a number. I mean, look at all the trades he made. Matt Olson, Sean Murphy. I know he's done other ones. The Chris Sale one obviously didn't really hurt him, but...
Nope.
But this surprises me. I was just checking. MLB Pipeline has the Brewers third. Where are they on this one? Oh, but FanGraphs has them 21st. And I have seen a lot of people bash Pipeline as being not realistic compared to some of the others. But last I knew, though, the Brewers had a bottom five farm. So they are climbing regardless of which list you look at. But that's right. Another interesting possibility for Duran. And you know they're looking at the Cubs, and I don't know if there's any bitterness that Council went there, but I think at a minimum there's some added motivation to try to beat them. And the Cubs do have a top I thought they had a top five farm system. Well, maybe not. Let's see, Fangraphs. Where are they? Oh yeah, they got the number one farm system according to Fangraphs. So the Cubs are looking really good long term. Let's see where Pipeline has them, number two. So yeah, the Cubs have a pretty good farm. So I don't know. The Brewers could be pretty motivated here to do something.
I think that if there's, I think they should be at the top of the list.
I mean, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? If you don't draft any pitchers, how are you going to develop a pitching program, right? Then you're just trying to find guys that get discarded from other pitching programs or pitching regimens, and you're trying to make, you know, I guess lemonade out of lemons, and you know, you get what you get. I think it has to start with a top pitching prospect and then some, right? Because you're trading a major league player, a major league ready level talent, you know, a guy that has pretty high upside, right? You know, we see how dynamic he's been at the major league level. We've seen the growth that he's been able to make at the highest level, at the most competitive level as well. Going back to the Royals, I think this is an incredibly interesting tape because, you know, apart from those couple of years in the mid-2010s, for the entirety of our lifetimes, the Royals haven't been relevant. You know, they haven't been buyers at the deadline. They're usually sellers. They're usually, you know, in the middle of a rebuild. And to pair Duran with Bobby Witt with some of the other talent that they've got in Kansas City, I think would be quite fun. And, you know, it was, excuse me, albeit a novelty, very exciting when the Royals were playing the Giants or the Mets in the World Series. I think that was, you know, just kind of a fun thought experiment for all of us to experience. But if we're going to move Duran, it's got to be for an absolute haul because this guy has been a cornerstone for this team for the last two seasons and definitely something that you can build around because he does have those 4 years of control left. Anything else that you individuals wanted to add on the Duran trade to the Royals hot take? All righty, we'll move on to my hot take for the evening. It comes from Johnny Fontaine, which can be found at Johnny Fontaine One, a staple on this program, on this segment. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate the take. He writes in, with the exception of Houck, the Red Sox starters are who we thought they were. I got to disagree with this one. I don't know if they are necessarily who we thought they were. I think it's one or two bad rotations or one or two bad flips through the rotation, for lack of better terms. You know, were they performing above expectation? Absolutely. I don't think what we were seeing at the beginning of the season was necessarily sustainable. But what we're seeing in these last couple series where they've been, you know, kind of slapped around a decent bit, shellacked, for lack of better terms, is not exactly the floor that we were expecting either. You know, I think that level point is going to be somewhere maybe in the high threes, low fours ERA. It's definitely not the ones and the twos that we were seeing, but not the five or the six that we're seeing this last time through. The exception of Houck, I think, is a very commendable point. I don't think anybody saw this coming, let alone to this degree. You know, we were all expecting him to take the next step. We all had the expectations for him to, you know, cut down on the walks, go deeper into games, make it through that third time of the rotation. But you know, to be pitching sub 90 pitch complete games, to be, you know, leading the team with a sub 2 ERA, you know, albeit he's getting abused in terms of wins, but Houck has been nothing short of outstanding. And so I think this is a really great opinion, but I don't think necessarily that the Red Sox starters are who we thought they were. Charlie.
I think that that is an interesting comment to make for a couple of reasons. We didn't think that Tanner Houck was going to be the only one to have a pretty solid start to the season. Cutter Crawford did pretty well. Cooper Criswell did pretty well. Garrett Whitlock, I think, was exactly who we thought he was. But Pivetta also had done pretty well as well. I hear what you're saying. So at Johnny Fontaine One, thank you so much for the take. I think that we're not giving them all the credit because they've had some moments, some blips where they've actually done better than I think anybody expected. And I think that's something that we've kind of glossed over a little bit. That being said, I think that the Red Sox, hopefully one other starter outside of Houck, will continue this season to impress us. which will make this season not a completely lost one. So I'll just leave my two cents on that one.
Terry.
So if Johnny Fontaine worded that a little differently, I'd probably be more, you know, inclined to agree with him, because they're still the third best rotation in Major League Baseball. So you can't really say that that's what we thought they were going to be, because we didn't, and they're still overperforming. Now, if Johnny Fontaine would have said they're trending to where we thought they would be, then, you know, I'm a little bit more inclined to agree. Charlie kind of went through it, but to me, there's only two guys that have really been impacted by Andrew Bailey, and that's Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford. And I know Crawford's coming off of a bad start, but his overall numbers still look pretty good for 2024, despite that bad start. So I think Bailey's really impacted those two. I don't think he's changed much from Pivetta. I kind of got into that in the last episode. Pivetta, more than any other pitcher in that rotation, is still heavily reliant on that fastball. He's got a very good sweeper, very good curve, but still very much like the Pivetta we saw last year. And Bayo has just been a hot mess at times. You can't really say there's been a lot of impact there. And if you want to lump Cooper Criswell into the Houck and Crawford category, fine. You know, he's definitely pitched very well. I don't think that's a long-term thing. He's never really pitched a ton of innings, you know, in his professional career. So I don't think he's going to get to 130, 140 innings. So not a guy I'm thinking is going to be doing this in September. But aside from that, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the Andrew Bailey thing, slightly overrated. And if Crawford continues to come down to earth and potentially crash down to earth, then what is this pitching staff? So we'll see what happens. We're a third of the way through the season, but they currently are the third best rotation, and for now I just feel like we have to take it at face value.
A third of the season is enough sample size too, to where you're like, all right, we're onto something substantial, right? You know, first time through, maybe second time through, you can say, hey, this is a fluke. We had a hot start. We're throwing, you know, wet pasta against the wall to see what sticks. But I mean, 33% of the season done. And the number one thing they talk about in baseball is it's a long season. So this is a significant amount of games and of starts, and to still be, you know, top three in the league, I think is significant. But thank you again for submitting that hot take for this Tuesday. We've got one more for the evening. Terry, what is the last hot take for this Tuesday?
What is it?
Ah, we have Jansen will be traded and Slayton will pick up the closer role and thrive, from Steve Hunt at Hunter's Sway 67. I can say that again. After Jansen is traded, parentheses, hopefully, Justin Slayton will inherit the closer role and thrive.
I'll go first on this one. If Jansen does get traded, the hopefully chuckle, Hunter Sway 67, Steve Hunt, thank you for that take. I'm not against the idea of Justin Slayton taking over as the closer, to be completely honest. I'm okay with it. The only other person I would consider for that role would be Chris Martin. I think Chris Martin has done a really, really good job, unless he's also on the move, which is a possibility. And maybe that's why you didn't say his name earlier or for that take. Garrett Whitlock would have been a great person to be a closer had he just not been a starter. I know that we've, you know, beat him over the head with, or not beaten him, but like beating the topic, you know, over the head here. But it's been brutally painful to kind of almost create these self-inflicted wounds by doing what we've done. And I'm hoping that we can learn a little bit from that. Justin Slayton has been, Cody, to quote you, Sight for Sore Eyes has been absolutely spectacular this year. And if he's up to the task, I'm totally cool giving him a shot. If for whatever reason it doesn't work out and the pressure is too much for him, we have Chris Martin as a fallback. So either way, the Red Sox don't lose this. They have a win-win situation. He's averaging almost a strikeout per inning, which is pretty sweet. The one thing that I really, really like about Slayton's game is that he doesn't give up the long ball. So only 4 walks and no home runs allowed. So I'm cool with that. Nice hot take. Thank you for your take, Terry.
Yeah, I think after today, he is over, just barely over a strikeout per inning. He struck out the side. I don't hate that. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue right now around Justin Slayton, and I've kind of wanted to take it a step further. Could we end up starting him? Maybe, if not this year, perhaps in 2025? I don't know. I don't know what the ceiling is. Maybe we'll ruin him if that happens, because, I mean, he's having his breakout at the major league level. He's had an up and down career throughout the minors. I think last year was the first year in the minors they committed to him as a reliever, and that's when he straightened it out. So maybe that's why I'm the only one asking for him to be potentially converted as a starter. But from a relief standpoint, it's hard not to be intrigued. I mean, Jonathan Papelbon was thought to have been a starter early in his career. That's what they thought he was going to be. And then he ended up being this elite reliever, one of the best in Red Sox franchise history. So I don't hate the idea of trying that with Slayton. He seems to have he can mentally handle it, I feel like. And so why not? This is the, we don't drop F-bombs on here, but this is the F around and find out year. That's what this is. Charlie's dying to jump in.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, thank you so much. So I had this thing that's been on the top of my tongue, and you probably had your computer muted, and that's why you didn't hear me say it. But the Boston Red Sox have a reliever named Garrett Whitlock that's done for the year that they try to convert to a starter. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I want you to tattoo that, or like write that on the wall and just right above your computer. Just, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just put it wherever you want. They tried Justin Slayton as a starter. Didn't work out back in 2020 and 2021. 2019 and 2021. Then they convert him to a reliever. Someone opened the book and was like, let's try this. And it worked. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's working. Let's not break another pitcher, because the Boston Red Sox seem to be much better at breaking them than actually developing them.
He's not fragile though. There's no history of injuries. So that's what gives me a little bit more confidence here.
With Garrett Whitlock though, was there that much risk of him getting broken more than once though? I don't think that was on the bingo card either. Like injured for the year. I don't remember seeing that happen. And yeah, he was a starter too briefly, but they converted him to becoming a reliever and it worked out. It's the dumbest thing, period, to just try to fix something that is not, it's just extra tinkering. You're tinkering for the sake of tinkering, not because we need to right now. We are going to find starting, Justin Slayton will not be Derek Lowe.
I don't know.
Derek Lowe fell apart as a closer. They tried him as a starter and it worked out because he was a starter before he became a closer for the Pawtucket Red Sox. I remember seeing him for years at AAA when I was little and was super excited to see his name on the list. And then he went up to Boston and was a closer, was great, became a starter because he just like, it was like having the yips or whatever as a closer. You couldn't get it. You couldn't figure it out. But then he did figure it out as a starter and then ended up having a pretty nice career. I'm happy to say told you so if I'm right on this one. I'm happy to eat crow if I'm wrong on this one. I'll leave it on that.
Well, another thing I never liked about Whitlock was his lack of composure at times. And And that was a major factor as well as to why I wanted him just to be in the pen for one or two innings max. With Slayton, I love the makeup and all of that. But I'm gonna do a reverse Terryism here for you, Charlie. Here's the good news. We're about to trade Jansen. Martin could get traded. So you're probably going to need a reliever you can trust. And for now, that would be Slayton. So it's just hard not to be teased, is all I'm saying. You see Tampa do it. You see Tampa do it. I'm sorry, Cody.
All of Tampa's pitchers are on the injured list. I don't know why we're saying you see Tampa do it.
But well,
the Red Sox organization is that meme of the dude with the butterfly that says, good reliever, are you a starting pitcher? And then like puts a spoke into his own bike and falls on the ground.
What? But look, Zach Littell, Aaron Civale, I mean, come on. I think they're turning these scrap heap relief guys into starters still.
Okay, so then is it this Boston Red Sox team that you have said much maligned that's going to underachieve, that's not going to make the playoffs, that's still in front of the Tampa Bay Rays in the standings?
For now.
Is it that same Tampa team?
I mean, Tampa hasn't always broken their guys. I mean, Jeffrey Springs, before they broke him, they pulled him off of our scrap heap, turned him into an elite, well, perhaps I shouldn't say elite, but a top of the rotation guy. That Rasmussen kid, you know, out of nowhere, semi top of the rotation guy. Like, they take these nobodies and they turn them into very productive starters. And Slayton would be a guy. This would be an example of, if the Red Sox were able to do it with Slayton, it would be a Tampa Bay-esque type situation there, is all I'm saying.
That's fair. So, the thing that concerns me with the Tampa Bay model is they redline these guys for a couple of years, they find magic, and then they burn out, and then what happens, right? Like, great. Arthur was great for a couple of years, went to Pittsburgh for an unbelievable trade for Tampa. Garbage, right? Snell recaptured some magic in the back half of last year, won a Cy Young. We have long talked about how Snell has done outside of that season. And I think Fairbanks has also not been that great this year. There is a pitcher in their rotation, their number one ace that I'm blanking right now.
McClanahan.
Thank you.
Jay McClanahan.
Glasnow couldn't make it through a single season in Tampa Bay, right? So, like, yes, they do have a great pitching program to get, you know, guys that might have been fringe up to this unbelievable level, but it's not sustainable, right?
Right.
With Slayton, you have so few guys that have the ability and the makeup, as you mentioned, Terry, to be able to handle those high pressure, high leverage situations. If he's one of those guys that can handle the eighth or the ninth inning, savor it, cherish it, box it up, set it back there, be like, hey, this is Slayton's phone. He's our closer. So be it, right? You have a guy like, and I keep coming back to Dylan Betances, because I don't think I've seen a pitcher nastier in the eighth inning than Dylan Betances that was more hittable in the ninth inning than that same individual. I don't know what that difference was between those two innings, but the dude was unbelievable in the eighth, and then you put him in a closer role and he just couldn't get it done. And so if you have a guy that has that closer mentality, that can get the game, you know, can shut the door on a game, what do you gain by moving him to the starting rotation? We aren't one starting pitcher away from potentially winning, you know, a significantly large amount of games or going on a deep postseason run. Now, you know, if we were ahead in the wild card race or potentially leading the division and we, you know, lost a starter late in the season and he could have been that guy, that's a different conversation. I would be much more open to that. But at this point in time, to have the long-term potential injury setbacks of that many more pitches on the arm, I'm just not a fan of it.
I also want to say that we're talking about Tampa Bay having a model, and Tampa Bay does have a model. There's no question, but they need to tinker with it and make it better, because Rasmussen, pretty sure he's recovering. Springs, he's done for the year.
He's having a rehab start, I think, this week. So,
well, McClanahan, done for the year.
Is he?
You know, the okay. McClanahan's not pitching this year. No. So, like, it's just the thing where They are so close to creating like an absolute, like an absolute perfect model of pitching in Major League Baseball. If they could just not break them, it would be amazing. Tampa Bay would be the model in Major League Baseball.
Well, they didn't really start breaking them until last year. So
they went full force with breaking. It wasn't one guy going down, it was four.
And I get that. And hopefully for their sake, they've identified what that was. But yeah, and I'm not going full send on putting him in the rotation. I'm just surprised we're not hearing, speculation about it. Like, or people just, using their imagination with it. I'm surprised I'm the only one talking about this. You do have three guys you can count on next year, Bayo, Crawford, and Houck. Pivetta probably gone. I don't think the Red Sox are going to pay him. And Whitlock, you would assume he's, and the update on him is he's going to have the internal bracing that Giolito just had. Makes me nervous because the only notable guy that's had it is Rich Hill. So I'd like to see, I'd be more encouraged if there were like a dozen pitchers that have had it and, it's worked out, but we'll see. But you don't know, who knows? I mean, we're all assuming that Whitlock will go to the bullpen, but nothing's a guaranteed with the brainiacs that we have in our front office. But that's all I'm saying. If he becomes an elite reliever and the Red Sox say, nope, that's what we're committing to, I'll immediately drop it.
I just want to see it because we have broken two great relievers, right? Like it's not necessarily so much as the individual as it is the organization. Slayton could be a great starter. Absolutely. That's fine. If I was a fan of, the White Sox, that's tough. We don't want to pick on them, but like another team that had Slayton and said like, hey, maybe let's turn him into a starter. I'd be like, fine, I'm open to it because this would be my first, kind of experience. But seeing what they did to Daniel Bard, seeing what they're doing to Garrett Whitlock and to potentially go down that path while, one of those doors isn't even officially closed would be too much for me to bear at the moment. The scar tissue is too fresh, to say the least.
Couldn't agree more.
Anything else that you gentlemen want to add on this topic? All righty. Thank you for joining us for another episode. We will wrap here. Have a great day and take care.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.